We need to talk interest rates, a possible Chrysler-Peugeot merger, and what's with the 0.4, why a supermarket would sell a box of anything in a 19.4-ounce size? I'm David Brancaccio. I will say this, without the customary conditional, no may, perhaps, or possibly's here, the guardians of interest rates at the Federal Reserve will lower interest rates by 0.25% in just over 7 hours. If I'm wrong, you're welcome to write me a nasty gram. With the Fed's wrapping up its review of the economy and rates today, here's Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman.
When the Fed cut interest rates in September, it was characterized as insurance, a little juice to keep the economy chugging along. And the lower rates have boosted interest rate-sensitive sectors like autos and housing, says Steve Nylander at San Diego State.
You know, every time rates come down, people go refinance their mortgages, and you know, whether it's, you know, $100, $200, $300, $400 they're putting in their pockets extra every month, being able to go out and spend it in the economy.
But one or two more rate cuts could suggest the Fed thinks the economy's in real trouble and needs a shot in the arm to prevent a recession, says Lindsay Piegza at Stifel Fixed Income.
It's going to be increasingly difficult for them to continue to characterize adjustments as preventative measures as opposed to outright support for a faltering economy.
Piegza says the Fed's trying to keep the expansion alive without signaling there's anything to worry about. That could lead people to stop spending and hunker down for worse times to come. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Ahead of the Fed decision, U.S. stock index futures have not moved much. London's FTSE index is down 0.1%. Now, the governing board of college sports, the NCAA, has decided to let athletes endorse brands and accept sponsors. California had already let student athletes accept endorsement money. The new rules have yet to be spelled out in detail. For more, let's turn to Marketplace's Andy Euler in Austin. Morning.
Good morning, David.
All right. Now, the NCAA said yesterday that any compensation must be, quote, in a manner consistent with the collegiate model. I think that suggests that it's not the colleges that would pay the athletes for performance or participation, but it would be outside money to the athletes.
That's exactly right. So the NCAA is sticking to the line that college sports will continue to be distinctly different from professional sports. But Scott Rosner, the academic director of the sports management program at Columbia University, points out, it's the NCAA who's going to be setting these rules.
You can call it amateurism and say there's a clear line of demarcation between intercollegiate athletics and professional sports. But in the end, that determination of what that clear line of demarcation is to be determined by that very body, the NCAA.
What I get is that this seems like it could be a big deal for perhaps a smaller group of student athletes at big places like Alabama, Notre Dame football. Does this change things for those participating in maybe lesser known sports?
It might actually work for other student athletes, too. You can now imagine a college tennis player, for instance, getting paid for giving lessons to kids, something that would have nullified their amateur status before. In the same way that influencers on college campuses make money through posting things on the internet, you can actually imagine, you know, a really good lacrosse player posting something and having folks pay for that content.
All right, a major business of sports story. Marketplace's Andy Euler, thank you.
You got it, David.
There's confirmation this morning that Chrysler is interested in merging with the parent company of Peugeot. If expected hurdles are surmounted, Fiat Chrysler, based in Italy, plus PSA of France, would be a $50 billion merger. The logic is that bigger is better in an industry facing costs of developing electric-powered and self-driving cars. Among potential regulatory hurdles, the Chinese government owns a stake in Peugeot, and Washington may have questions about a partial Chinese ownership of Chrysler.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.
Now to something called the difficult comparison effect and why it's meant to fool you in the grocery aisle. Marketplace's Mariel Segarra discovered this when some listeners asked us why packaged goods come in such weird sizes.
Eugene Chang and his wife, Jenny, live in California. They have three kids and a habit of using baggies for everything. Snacks, crayons, Legos, even entertainment.
My wife's done a thing with, I think it was like corn syrup and dye and putting other things in there so it'd become like a squishy toy for the kids.
On a recent trip to the supermarket, Chang noticed something in the baggie aisle. A box of 19 Ziploc bags. Not 20, not 15.
Which just feels like they're cheating me out of a bag. They just gave me 20, I wouldn't have thought about it.
Supermarkets are filled with this kind of weirdness. 19.4 ounces of dish soap, 11.5 ounces of coffee. It's hard to know a particular company's reasoning, because these decisions are made behind closed doors. When we asked SC Johnson, which makes Ziploc bags, its PR team said the company makes packages in different counts to meet, quote, various consumer needs. Part of the reason could be practical. When you combine shelf size, box size, and the weight of certain foods, you can get odd numbers. But marketing experts have some other theories, too.
What you're most likely seeing is something we'd call the difficult comparison effect.
That's Mark Bergen at the University of Minnesota. He says a lot of big packaged goods companies don't want to make it easy for you to compare their products based on price. So sometimes they choose odd quantities and weights to make that calculation harder. And since only about a third of states require stores to post labels that do the math for shoppers,
what that usually does is it means that you'll look at other things when you buy the products. You'll look at the quality of the product or the brand or you know, your past experience.
Bergen says another explanation for these odd numbers is downsizing. He shares a story he heard recently from his father-in-law.
In Milltown, Wisconsin, where he's from, in the bars, when, you know, times get tight, the size of the beers go down.
Customers don't like price hikes. So when packaged goods companies want to cut costs, they'll often just make a product a little smaller. As they chip away, bit by bit, you can get these odd numbers. Marianne Rosner-Klimchuk, who leads the packaging design program at FIT, says this can backfire. Customers open a bag of potato chips, it's only half full, and they feel like they've been had.
That's a risk on the part of a brand owner that, you know, you lose consumer trust, consumer loyalty, they may not buy it again.
Because eventually, customers do notice. I'm Mariel Segarra for Marketplace.
Sure, the potato chips is the air on the top to protect the chips. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.